Okay, apologize for the technical issue, but tell me when to go.
Anytime.
All right, well, now's the time. All right, anyway, welcome. Apologize for the technical difficulty, but we'll get through this. We're only a few minutes late. All right, how's everybody doing? Enjoying the conference, other than the last 5 minutes? All right. So we're here to talk about Windows Azure SQL Database, and if you're a DBA, what that means for you. So DBAs? About half of you. Those familiar with Windows Azure SQL Database? Just a couple of you? All right. So I'm assuming then that you're here to learn about, hey, if I'm a DBA, what, right? Because that's why you're here. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. Quick introduction. There is my blog, my email address, and my Twitter handle. If you have any questions or want to get in touch with me about what you're about to hear after the fact, please reach out because I'm happy to help out and give more guidance and direction. Whether you like it or not, that's where we're going, okay? And so the concept is that, yes, we're still going to be on-prem for a while. There's still going to be lots to do on-prem. But at some point, we have to face the fact that things are going to the cloud, right? And so how do we do that? And in terms of a DBA, what does that mean for me? And what does that mean for you as a DBA? When Windows Azure SQL Database came out, you know, we... You know, one of the reasons we put this together is because a lot of the DBAs were thinking, they if a company wanted to migrate to the cloud, they said, no, because I'm out of a job. And that's not the case, right? You're even more critical, the role of a DBA is even more critical in terms of the cloud than it is really on-prem, because there's lots of things to do as far as performance tuning and understanding, you know, where's am I getting throttled? Why am I getting throttled? What's going on with my queries? How do I, you know, backups and restores and things like that. So a lot of the DBA functions, right? Now, there's some that, you know, from a compliancy, some, yes, so there, it's a little different, but a lot of it still applies. And you as a DBA are still very important. So, again, you are not being replaced. Right. Let me repeat that. You are not being replaced. You are very valid as far as, you know, what your role is for the DBA. So what we want to get out of this is the following. If you're my DBA, how do I do maintenance and administration in Windows Azure SQL Database? How do I do backups and restores? How do I migrate a database? How do I look at troubleshooting? What's going on? How do I check for, like, man-in-the-middle attacks? How do I check if everything's, you know, did I get throttled? Why did I get throttled? What does throttling mean? And things like that, right? Maintenance. How do I do maintenance on Windows Azure SQL Database? And from a maintenance standpoint, this is, you know, if we understand Windows Azure SQL Database, and we'll actually get to the architecture here in a minute and spend a few minutes on that. But this is physical versus logical administration, and I'll talk more about that in a second. Then again, monitoring, troubleshooting, tuning. Right? Anybody go to my session earlier about query performance tuning? Good. Right. So we're not going to rehash that. We'll briefly mention it. But as a DBA, and you know, your end users are screaming, hey, what's going on with my database? You know, how do I go, you know, look at that? And where do I go look at that? And then best practices. Hey, you know, standard stuff, best practices. What do I need to do in terms of understanding Windows Azure SQL Database? So let's talk architecture. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. And those that in my previous session, you know, you can close your eyes for a few minutes. This is the architecture of Windows Azure SQL Database. You'll notice that it's very similar to the architecture of SQL Server on-prem. The difference between Windows Azure SQL Database and on-prem is that it is logical versus physical administration, right? So PaaS, Platform as a Service. We have taken SQL Server in this platform layer and said, we're going to serve up SQL Server for you as a platform. So you don't have access to the box, you don't have access to drives and disks and things like that, but you get to do, so who here loves to do the physical administration and patching and OSs and things like that? Come on, anybody a glutton for punishment here? Yeah, some guys, on good days, yeah, I'm okay with that, right? So this is physical versus logical administration. Do the things you love to do, right? Code, great databases, security, all that good stuff, okay? So from the architecture perspective, same languages that you work with, still talks to, you know, that talk to SQL Server, still talk to Windows Azure SQL Database. As far as the services layer, this is the only difference. You know, SQL Server still talks TDS, 443, security, encrypted, all that good stuff, right? The only difference is the services layer. This is where your connection comes and says, all right, what server am I connecting to? And what we need to understand is that, again, since it's physical versus logical, you don't have access to a box. When I spin up a Windows Azure SQL Database server, am I getting an actual box? No, I don't get an actual box. I get a TDS endpoint, and I'll show you what that looks like. It's a TDS endpoint, and there's a physical box back there that it'll create your database on, but you're really just saying, here's my TDS endpoint, and I have databases associated to that TDS endpoint, right? So it's not physical. I can't touch it, smell it, feel it. I can't name the instances like Ratbert, Dilbert, Superman. Like, and you all do that, so don't lie to me, right? But it's the TDS endpoint, and that's my server name. I cannot name the server. Other than that, it's the same thing, SQL Server behind the scenes, disks, subsystems, all that great stuff. But it is SQL Server 2012 behind the scenes. So with that, management. So with the tools, everybody's familiar with SQL Server Management Studio, I'm assuming, right? Then we have things like the Management Portal and PowerShell and the SQL Database Management Portal. And those in my previous session saw that. We'll show it again briefly, right? So we're going to talk about a few of these. SQL Server Management Studio, again, everything, most things that you can do in on-prem for SQL Server, you can do in Windows Azure SQL Database. So the same tools work. Like if you're using an ORM or if you're using a schema creator, I can't remember, define and create your database, those things still work, right? So it requires connectivity, you can still do statistics, can still do execution plans and query plans, all that stuff still works, right? What you cannot do are things like, anybody want to take a guess what you can't do in SQL Server Management Studio against Windows Azure SQL Database? If you're in my previous sessions, you should know the answer to this. Tracing, profiler, what's that? Profiler, right? Kind of the two big things. Extended events, right? Some of the big things. But we really, and that stuff, they're working on that stuff. But for right now, you can't do those things. But we'll fire that up and we'll show you. All right, Windows Azure Management Portal, again, this is where you can provision a server, do database provisioning, monitor, configuration, set up security, but you can't do a security other than firewall rules. We'll talk about those in a minute. But you can't create users. This is just provision my server, provision my database, and tell me who has access to my databases or my server, right? That's really what it is. And there's some metrics and things in there, charts and graphs, where you can say, hey, what are my locks? What are my, how many successful connections, things like that. We'll pull that up and we'll show you, right? And then in terms of the SQL Database Management Portal, I asked this question in my last session, and very few people raised their hand. And so I'm going to ask this again. So in my last session, I expect your hand to go up, right? Who here has wished, and I'm going to clarify this just a little bit because it's not the same, it's not one-to-one, but who here has wished that there was a web-based version of SQL Server Management Studio? A few of you. Really? The rest of you no? Liars. So, I'm sorry, say that again? Where would you publish it, though, too?
Like when you have the terminal services sort of, wrapped.
Oh, sure. So, in essence, so what I could do if I wanted it in the cloud, we'll call it, I could throw up a Windows Azure VM, right, that's running SQL, and there's SQL Server Management Studio in there that can access, right? And at that point, I can get to it, as long as I have maybe a browser or whatever, and I can RDP into that box. Sure, I could do that, right? But again, what the web-based version portal gives me is that wherever's the browser, I don't have to RDP into a box. As long as there's a browser, I can get to it, right? So yes, we could publish it, and there's several ways we can publish it. But again, I'd have to have some way, mechanism to get to that application. Wherever there's a browser, I could get to it much more easily. And we'll actually show you this. All right, but the same thing in the database management portal, I have a lot of the same things I can do that are available in SQL Server Management Studio. Like, I can I can create tables, views, store procedures. I can run queries. I can look at execution plans. I can move execution plans between on-prem and the cloud. What I can't do are things that, from a security perspective, like I can't create users and groups and do permissions and things like that, right? So it's somewhat limited, but it's a great V1. I can do a lot of the things from a object perspective as far as tables, views, store procedures. I can run queries, add data, modify objects, update data, right? I can do all that, and it's really good, and it's right through the web, right? We'll show you that. any PowerShell people here? Any PowerShell people that are not afraid to raise their hand? Yeah, one guy. Awesome, you are the man, right? Okay, so a lot of things that you can do in the portal, you can actually do through PowerShell, right? And we actually, and I'll pull this up, we actually give you a lot of commandlets to do a lot of database provisioning, firewall rules, things like that, right? Well, I'm not going to walk through an entire example, but I'll show you how to get these and all the commandlets that there are that you can do these, so we'll actually show you that. And actually, we'll show you that right now. Okay, so I do have SQL Server Management Studio up, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but you guys have seen this. And if you expand these, right, this is, from a DBA perspective, I've connected to my on-prem box, right, my laptop here, and then I've connected to the cloud. If you look at the differences between those, okay, there's databases, security, and management. So if I expand security, right, there's a lot of stuff there that's missing. If I expand management, whoa, where'd management, what's wrong with management? Why are these things missing? So what's the difference between the box and on-prem? Why, from a DBA perspective, you're thinking, hey, where's my stuff, right? Why are they missing? Thank you very much. Physical administration versus logical administration. A lot of these things, like replication, we take care of that for you, right? When you create a database, you get actually three, and we sync those, right? We do that automatically. And if anybody lose a lot of hair over setting up actual replication, right? Pain in the rear, right? Takes a rocket scientist degree to figure that stuff out. Love it, but man, it's hard. But we actually have something called SQL Data Sync that without any code, within a matter of minutes, I can set up entire almost replication topologies, right? So you don't need these. Some of the things that are missing, really you don't need because it's physical versus logical administration. Now, does not fit in that is the encryption, cryptology stuff, right? Why isn't encryption there? Right, from a DBA perspective, think about this. As a DBA, you're concerned about what? The data, right? You own that data. So is encryption supported in Windows Azure SQL Database? That's a long name. I should just say WASD or something. But is encryption supported in Windows Azure SQL Database? Yes? No? No, it's not. Why? Come on, pop quiz. I'm making you think here. So think about this, right? In encryption, encryption is based on what? Certificates, right? That means I can have one level of encryption, and you may have another level of encryption. So in Windows Azure SQL Database, since it's a platform as a service and shared services, I can create a database, and it'll go on one server. And it may go actually on the same server as your database. So if I have one level of encryption, and you have another level of encryption, how do we solve that if the databases are on the same physical server? Make sense? That's why encryption's not there yet. How do we solve that in terms of, right, because you don't get your own physical server. We're sharing resources. So if I create one in a database in Southeast Asia, and you create one in Southeast Asian data center, they may go on the same server. And if we need different levels of, you know, like SHA-1 or DEC-3 or whatever, right, how do you do that? Because certificates are server-based, not database-based. So one of the things we're trying to solve. So the only thing that doesn't fit there is the encryption. Everything else is server logical administration versus physical administration, right? The things that aren't there, you really don't need, okay? All right. Other than that, you know, you can still create databases. You can still do users and groups and permissions and security and all that great stuff, right? What you don't get, though, is if I were to do a new database, who likes the GUI versus who likes writing code? Come on. Code people? A couple of you? All right. This is for you. So if I do database, do I get the wizard or do I get a code template? Sorry. Right. So if you like writing code, this is Windows Azure SQL Database is for you. Right? And it goes for databases, tables, stored procedures. There's no wizard yet. Right? It's on the radar. Right? But can't give you a timetable. But it is the same. But it is SQL Server 2012. All right. So enough about SQL Server Management Studio. Let's jump into, I don't need all of these. So let me close these. And let me open, I should have done this earlier. So let me open the portal. Okay. manage.windowsazure.com. If I typed that right. All right, we're going to go to the portal. Log in with my live account. Password's right. Okay, so here I can do the same thing. Now, some things that you can do in the portal, there's some minor differences between, from a DBA perspective, differences between what you can do in the portal and what you can do in Windows Azure SQL Database. For example, right? So here's my SQL databases. There's my servers. And even as a Microsoft employee, I only get six servers. I'd have to go request, hey, I want more. And so this is a extra money. But I got servers, and I can go in there, and really, it's notice my server names, right? So it's not, this is just my TDS endpoint, right? So if I were to go in one of these into these servers, whoops, dashboard, right? That's my server name right there. Okay, so in my connection string, that's what I would put as my database. It's just a TDS endpoint, and I have databases associated to that, right? Okay, but beyond that, so I can go to, here's the databases associated with that. I have no database. Let's pick one that's got databases associated to it. There's all my databases, right? And if I want to configure, the configure tab for this server does firewall rules. And I think we'll actually talk about this in a minute, but what's a firewall rule? Anybody know what a firewall rule is? Yeah, so basically it's your layer of security that says who has access to this server and this database. Through the portal, you cannot apply firewall rules to the database. You can do that through T-SQL. But right now, it's only, but you can apply database or firewall rules to the server through the portal. You can apply firewall rules to both the server level and the database level. And how that works is that if I come in, and it's really easy. I love this because when I come in here, it tells me, it's awesome. I don't have to go figure out, you know, whack, whack, who or whatever and say, what's my IP address? It tells you, right? And then I just click, hey, add that. And I can do ranges, and I can have, up to 255 IP address rules, okay? But it's fairly easy. It just says, you know, when I come in with an IP address, it asks at the server level first. It says, hey, who has access to this data, to this server, you know, with this IP address? If it says yes, you have access to all the databases. If it says no, it asks that same question against the database you're trying to connect to. If it says yes, you have access to that database. If it says no, you're kicked out, you have access to nothing, right? And this is where I would do that, right? So fairly simple. But notice that, you know, I've got, you know, this is the server, my data. If I go into database, this is where the interesting stuff works. As a DBA, this is where you want to pay attention, right? You saw, I mentioned this in the early example, right? This is, if you look at this, I've got deadlock, successful connections, and failed connections. So I can get a brief, quick look at what's going on as far as my database, this database is concerned. You know, am I getting failed connections? And at that point, if you're getting failed connections, what does that tell you? Something's going on, obviously, right? So you need to investigate, why am I getting failed connections? Could it be just I'm typing in the wrong password? Is there an IP address rule that's not configured? Or more importantly, am I getting throttled? Right? And we'll actually talk about that, right? So I can go over here to the next one, right? And say, okay, this is a little more because it'll tell me down here. Same graph, but I can say, what's my min, max, average, and total value? So I get a little more detailed information there, right? But it's really the same graph. All right. But other than that, I'm going to go back to the dashboard. So we've looked at SQL Server Management Studio. We looked at the Windows Azure Management Portal. But now what I want to look at is this link right down here called Manage. If I click on that, control click. It's going to open this in a new browser, and it's going to log me in. Oh, it's going to enter this again. And those in my previous session saw this. So I won't spend too much time here. Oops, let's type the right password. This should log in. And this is what I call the web-based version of SQL Server Management Studio. And I think I don't want to lead you to believe that this is a full SQL Server Management Studio. We talked about some of the differences, and I need you to understand that, right? No security. You can't apply firewall rules through here. It's just objects, you know, tables, views, store procedures, queries, things like that, right? Geez, what happened? Oh, the login failed. All right, so I'll come back to that. Try this one more time. All right, and then PowerShell. So what I'm going to do here, let me show it while this is logging in. Let me try this again. Let me open PowerShell. All right, so for you PowerShell people, what I'm going to do is scroll over here. And this PowerShell is installed with the Windows Azure SDK, and it's really, really awesome. All right, there's this. We'll actually come back to that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here and go to open one quick file. I should have had this open earlier. Apologize, but let's. Okay, so I'm going to open this text file. I'm going to just do what I'm going to do here is so I don't type this wrong. I'm going to execute these two. So if you want to know what commandlets for PowerShell are available for Windows Azure, simply type get command. Module Azure. Bam. Okay. think that's the only one I'll show. Okay? Look at all those. That's probably a good 200 or more, 150, 200 commandlets, right? And there's things like get Azure SQL, get Azure SQL database, right? Let's look at all those. Get Azure SQL database server, get, if I want to, I think there's creates up here. Or new, sorry, new. Right? And new, so if I want to say new Windows Azure SQL database server, new Windows Azure SQL database firewall rule, new Windows Azure SQL database itself, things like that, new users, set the passwords, all that great stuff. I can do all this through PowerShell, right? In about four PowerShell commandlets, I can create a server, create the firewall rule, create a database, set the password, done, right? That easy. Now, the easiest way to do this is if you're a developer guru like Mr. Brady Gaster over here, you basically Visual Studio, you can, through the PowerShell commandlets, get your published profile setting. Use that, so about five, one extra statement, just to, what it does is create the security between on-prem and the cloud to do basically execute all of these. Makes it really, really, really simple. Okay, so that was PowerShell, and let's close that now, and let's go back to here. So this is the Windows SQL Database Management Portal. This tells me a lot, right? So there's, if I look on query performance, this tells me right out of the gate, and I you know what, in my last session I failed to show this because this was really important. Right through this portal I can look to say what are the last queries that are run and what are the most the poor performing queries, what are the ones that I have to deal with right here, right? So just quick snapshot, where am I having problems, right? So I can go in here and it looks like, you know, there's the run count, how many times did this run, and this actually is pulled from a DMV, right? We'll talk about this DMV. And then physical reads, logical reads, physical writes, things like that, right? So there's all my queries that have been running, okay? And which ones are giving me issues and things like that. So a great snapshot. And from here, if I go to design, right, I can create tables. There's my new query window. There's tables, view, store procedures. What I really like to do is if I do new query, right, there's my actual execution plan and estimated execution plan. So I get the same great functionality there that I get. And what I want to show you just really quick, from a DBA perspective, if you're troubleshooting, what I'm going to do is, you guys saw this in my last, but this is important to show. I'm going to grab this file and this query right here, standard. Come on. I'm going to take that query. And you guys, standard query, correct? It's just selecting from the AdventureWorks database. Nothing out of the ordinary there. So I'm going to copy that, go into here, paste, actual execution plan. Okay? I look at this. Okay? You're probably thinking that immediately, like, oh, well, big deal, right? However, I can do this. Right? I can zoom in, zoom out. Okay, really easy. It can't do that in SQL Server Management Studio. But more importantly, I can look at this execution plan in terms of, give me, right now I'm looking at this in total, but give me this in terms of each one of these properties in terms of CPU. Give me in terms of I/O. Okay, this is by hands down, I think, blows away the execution plans in SQL Server Management Studio. And yet we're not done, right? Because maybe I want to go in here and say, hey, find by all my all my properties here, find by, show me all my, like, seeks. Oh, there they are. Boom, blue, right? Now, in this very simple execution plan, right, you're like, okay, big deal, because there's only, what, 7, 8 properties? What if this was a much more complex, I know you guys write this, what if this was a much more complex query that just had nested, and you wanted to find all your seeks? Bam, done, right there. I can zoom out, there's a blue, hot click on that, done, right? What if I want to do it in terms of, so I can do this in terms of warnings, merge joins, nested loops, there's my nested loops, where's my sorts, things like that, right? Awesome. So this, I've started using this, and I find myself more useful and more productive as a DBA using this than I have in SQL Server Management Studio and execution plans, right? I think this is phenomenal. Right, and I can actually take this and say save as. I'm not going to do this, but I can show you and say I want to save this SQL plan file, save it to my local desktop, open it in SQL Server Management Studio. Okay, what I don't get then is I don't get all the functionality here. Right, so I can't highlight in blue and things like that, right? But this is awesome. I love this much better. All right, let's go. Any questions so far? Okay, let's keep going. How am I doing on time? 8:44. We got a lot to cover. All right, so security. Oh my goodness, really? Knows what's going to happen. But now you're seeing what I see. That's right. You can see all my cheater notes. I don't have cheater notes. Son of a gun. All right. So we're going to show... You want to see... Well, all right. You're going to see all my... Jeez. All right. At least you can see the slide. Is that all right? Can you still see that? Freaking... If I swore, I'd use some language. Oh, you know what it is? Oh, I can't do that. You know what? Extend. I think I did this earlier. I don't know why. There we go. I don't know why PowerPoint doesn't do that to begin with. Right? That's a top secret, by the way. I'm kidding. All right, so from a security perspective, we want to know what's going on. It's a DBA, and I asked this earlier. It's a DBA. You are responsible for the data. So we talked about this a little easier, right? So security firewall rules. This is important because realistically, I could give you my server name, my username, and my password, hand it to you, and you won't get access to my data. Why? Because I haven't given you access through the firewall rule. Right? Now, well, there's another way, but technically, I can give you username, and password. So here you go. Open it up. But if I don't give you access through the firewall rule, you're never going to get to my data. Right? Yes? I'm sorry, say that again. So,
if you're, say, in your office,
yeah.
What IP address?
So it depends on. So again, okay, let's fire this back up before I knock that over. So let me show you because I think this makes this will hopefully answer your question. So if I go into here, let's pick a server. Right, IP address ranges. You can have more than one, but they're range based, right? So you can have obviously more than one. So you can lock this down. So you can have up to, I think, 255 rules. And you can say, hey, in this one I just said, you know, 111.69.32.1 to 255.
I think
we're asking if you're coming through a gateway. Yes, so if everybody had that same IP, they would have access to your database. Yeah, correct. Right, so again, I guess, yeah, thank you. So the issue here, or the I guess your homework is, be smart and cognizant about how you give access to your database, right? Yeah. Yeah, so this is really no different. This is just, you can get much more granular here as to who has access. Yeah, so there's... So this is not, I'm not, and I don't want you to get, hey, this is the end-all solution, right? This is, as you're planning and as you're thinking, and as a DBA who's responsible for that data and whose job's on the line if that data is compromised, how do you implement this so that, you know, least restrictive? Or, you know, who has access, right? So, yes. All right, you know, so here we go again. Yeah, bam. Okay, so firewall rules, right? So it's server, there's server side and database side, and we walked on that. But it's the same thing, and we only go through this pretty quick, but there's logins, users, and roles. So again, it is SQL Server, so create logins, create users, roles, assign permissions. There are two additional, because it is cloud-based, you have login manager and DB manager security roles, so two additional roles, right, because this is cloud-based. But you do not have access to SA. There is no SA. When I create a server, it says, what's your username and password? That's much like SA, but you do not have access to SA. But you still can connect to master. You don't have access to master, but you can still access that to create all your logins. So, again, you're used to this. This is a SQL Server. Okay? All right, migration. I'm just going to spend a few minutes on this because the question is if I'm a DBA, how do I get my database to Windows Azure SQL Database? And there's several ways to do that. Okay? You may be familiar with DAX, DAC packs. Okay, Anybody familiar with backpacks? Yes, it's not the thing you haul around on your back. In 2012, they introduced what's called, they updated the DAC framework to 2.0, and they introduced what's called the DAC backpacks. Same artifact as a DAC pack, but it just includes data, right? And it's awesome, right? So you can use the DAC, you can use the import-export service, we'll show you that really quick, and then SQL Server Data Tools. I'm going to go through this real quick, because there's some things I think we still need to talk about. Let me show you that real quick. All right, so in 2012, I can actually expand my databases, Node and Go, tasks, deploy database to SQL Azure. Man, we don't make it any easier for you, right? But what this does, it creates a backpack underneath the scenes and just does one-time deployment. But if I want to keep that backpack around, I do tasks, export data to your application, right? And what this does, oops, I always get that confused, tasks, export, not extract, export data to application, right? And what it does, it gives me two options, if you can see that, right? Let me save that backpack to a local disk, or actually let me save it to our blob storage, right, as in a backpack. And the difference is that, you know, if I save it locally, it gives me a file and I can push that, right? Then I have data going across the wire multiple times. But if I do it to blob storage, it only goes across the wire once, then I can go into Windows Azure SQL Database and into the management portal and just import as many times as I want. Cost savings right there, right? And better performance, actually. Right? And so once I import it to Windows Azure SQL Database, I can go into blob storage. I can then go into the portal into a server. Let's go back to servers, right? And come on. There we go. That one. Import, export. Right. So from a migration standpoint, I can use SQL Server Management Studio. I push it up to blob storage, and then from here in a backpack format, and from here I can just do import. And from an import perspective, it just says, let me pull from the blob storage that I just pushed up there. I can go the other way too. Let me export to blob storage, and then from blob storage I can download that backpack and install it locally. Okay? Very, very, very easy. Now, we just also, SP, we just gave you the ability, I shouldn't say just, not too long ago, we just gave you the ability to, through 2SQL, do backup database, and not to a file storage, but to blob storage, right? And that's pretty cool, because now I don't have to, since I don't have access to the disks, I can say backup database, and just pass it my blob storage URL. All done. Okay? And we can talk about more of that if we want to. We got 20 minutes, so we still have a lot to get through. So backups, we talked about backups. Let's talk about the more important topics of indexes and throttle tuning and things that you need to be interested about. Okay. All right. It is SQL Server. We talked about that. So fragmentation still occurs, which results in poor performance, long-running queries, and throttling. Anybody know what throttling is in Windows Azure SQL Database? What's throttling? Yeah, essentially, right? So throttling is, so again, this is shared database, right? So I'm on the same, maybe on the same physical box as you. And so right now it's shared resources. So we're fighting for CPU, we're fighting for memory, things like that. I don't want to rob critical resources from you, and I know you don't want, and I know I don't want you robbing critical resources from me, right? So in that, you saw in that architecture slide, there's the SQL database agent, and his job is to make sure we all play nice in the sandbox. And to do that, he may throttle. There's soft throttling and there's hard throttling. So as you're coming in and you're running queries and you're doing your normal everyday, running stored procedures, things like that, right? This agent is looking to see how many, you know, are you being mean, in essence, right? And it may go, no, you're not playing nice, and it may throttle you. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it may throttle you. And there's soft throttling and hard throttling. Soft throttling means we may just limit the number of connections that you're going to make, right? So we may scale your connections down. We may limit the amount of time you're connected. To hard throttling, which means you're doing something really, really, really bad, so we may just kill all your connections and prevent you from connecting for like 30 seconds or something like that. Now, I got to be honest, you know, you really got to be doing something really bad to get to that point, right? But you may get throttled. And so when you're from an, keep in mind as a DBA, you need to now, what's old is new. These are, things on-premise, you could hide a lot by throwing memory and CPU at it, right? If you've got a bad performing query, just throw more. You can't do that in Windows Azure SQL Database, right? Because you're sharing resources right now. So you need to be cognizant of how your query's running, how fast is it running, because you may get throttled and you may, right? And at that point, from a cost savings perspective, I mentioned this earlier, from a cost savings perspective, you could actually save the company money by looking at your queries and going, I can make this run faster and better, right? Because if you're throttled and you're running a query and you're right in the middle of running a query and you get throttled, well, you ran a query, that data, you know, that data leaves the data center, you just got charged for that. So you may have to run that again, right? Which means now more money. So the better you can tune your queries and do better performance and think about throttling and things like that, the more you're going to save your company money, okay? So, but the good thing here is from an index perspective, it's handled the same, right? Their indexes are indexed. It is SQL Server. There's no difference here. You just need to be cognizant of the queries, right? The queries and how they're running, right? You can still do alter index rebuild. There's a number of DMOs. Stats, you're still doing stats. Anybody work with stats here? Right, so what I'm going to do, I think here we have I'm actually going to come back to this. I'm not going to do copy. We'll come back. So there's actually a list of DMVs what I want to get to that will help you determine, right? So from a connectivity standpoint, you know, we talked about different errors. There's Windows Azure SQL Database errors. There's general errors. There's loss of connection, right? There's certain things that you have no control over. Right? If your internet service provider goes down, you lose connectivity. You don't have anything of that, right? If you get throttled, you have no direct correlation to that. Just tune your queries so you don't get throttled, right? But there's certain errors. So why does my connection fail? And there's really several ways, right? From the firewall rule, number one, as a DBA, if people complain that they can't connect, number one, check the firewall rule. First place you look. Right. Number two is authentication and login. Right? Did they type the password in right? And you can tell that by going into the portal and look at invalid logins. Right? But number one, look at your firewall rules. Number two, look at the authentication. Right? Number three is the denial of service attack. We can talk about more of that. General connectivity errors. Right? So you can't name the server. So did you type the server in right? Is there network latency, things like that, right? These are general connectivity errors, just things to think about. Because since you're dealing with the cloud, it's not right there. You're going to get some latency. You're going to get, now it's not big latency or bad latency, but you're going to get some latency, and you're going to have issues like, hey, server wasn't found or things like that. But that server is not found generally means they typed the server in wrong, okay? Loss of connections. One of the things that we do to improve performance for you is we monitor idle connections. If you have a connection that's been idle for 30 minutes or more, we terminate that connection to make room for others, right? So connection pooling in your applications, number one. Number two, a failover. Failover means that possibly this agent that's sitting on the box, his job is to make sure that your database gets the best performance, you know, is performing up to its optimum. That means that it may look at your database and go, you know what, I can move this database from this physical server to this physical server, okay? You don't care about that because your connections are still connecting, but there's going to be a minor timeout when it moves that database, okay? So you may have some failover instances, or you just may have some failover connection errors coming back, right? Now, that doesn't happen a lot. We're not always moving your database, but it could potentially happen to get better performance, okay? So those two lead to that third bullet point, right? We talked about this in the last session, retry logic, right? You can solve a lot of problems as a DBA. Now, not as a DBA, because this is the only application-specific point I'm going to make in the session. Retry logic. Your application must include retry logic, right? Which means retry logic says, did I get an error? Or could I not execute my query? Just retry that query again, right? And it's easy to do. Anybody, .NET or any developers in here? Okay, a few of you. Any of you try to build retry logic into your application? No? Good. It's not fun, right? But if you use the enterprise library from Microsoft, it's got what's called the transient fault handling application block. And with just a few lines of code, you can build in retry logic into your application. It's just a wrap around the SQL connection class. One line of code defines your retry policy. Retry policy says, How many times do I retry, and what's my wait between retries? Right? And that just, it gets applied to the SQL connection. So there's a wrapper around the SQL connection. It's called the reliable SQL connection. Apply that policy to that reliable SQL connection, and what it does is it says, all right, I've had an error, just let me retry. Automatically, you don't have to do anything. So in your try-catch block, from a throttling perspective or any other error, in your try-catch block, you can go, hey, what was the error? Interrogate that error and go, was I throttled and why was I throttled? Oh, let me fix it. So maybe I back off a little bit, right? Not hard to do, but important to do, okay? What I want to get to is a troubleshooting connectivity, right? We were at we were at Tech Ed North America early in June down in New Orleans. And we were doing a pre-con, and we couldn't connect to Windows Azure SQL Database, right? And it's standard. There was that we did the firewall rule. We did all the number troubleshooting. Yep, we're typing the server name right. We're logging in. Everything's typed in right. We still could not connect, right? So at that point, we went, it's not us, it's you, okay? So we whipped out Telnet, and through Telnet, we were able to determine where the connection was failing. And we went to those guys, and they said, oh, it's not us. And we're like, yeah, it is. It is you. We're like, no, it's not. Yeah, it is. And we pulled out Telnet and said, there it is. We get at the router that's failing. They went down. 15 minutes, they came back up and said, yep, you were right. That just didn't open up port 1433. Done. Right? So a lot of these tools like Telnet and Ping and things like that, Tracert, wonderful tools to troubleshoot connections and things like that. Right? SQL Server Management Studio, Database Management Portal, we looked at that. Okay, your two best friends as far as looking at the database management views are those bottom ones, sys.eventlog and sys.databaseConnectionStats. That tells you right there, those two DMVs tell you immediately what's going on with connections, how many successful connections, failed connections, why they failed, and did that connection get throttled for those two DMVs. Those are your best friends, DBA, to figure out what's going on with connections. Okay, errors. So we talked about this, the failover, we talked about failover. The quota, your biggest quota is 150 gig right, from a database perspective. So if you reach that, you know, the database goes into read-only, you're going to get a specific error back, right? Well, 150, but you know, if you provision a 10, you're going to get that error message, that error back saying you've reached your quota, and at that point, just do an alter database. We talked about throttling, so sys.eventlog, all your throttling is in there. If you get throttled, these are currently the error numbers and error messages you're going to get back, right? What you need to do is take that error number, and there's up on MSDN, it shows you how to interrogate that error number. You can determine, was I soft throttled or hard throttled, and what was the result of that throttling, right? That information you can actually get through that error number, okay? Not supported, so there, again, what we didn't cover, but from a DBA perspective, there are some syntax that's not supported, like the use database, right, or some DBC, most of the DBCCs are not supported, I shouldn't say most, there's a few that are not supported, right, so a lot of the DMOs and DMVs, or all the DMOs and DMVs, they're scoped to the database, okay, this is important to know, you do not get system-level DMOs and DMVs, you don't, right, because you don't have access to the box or the instance. Your scope to the database, remember that, okay? Let's look at things like, we only have a few minutes left, so what I want to do is get to some of the DMVs that we're going to talk about. So there's the unexpected, right? So the async network IO, hey, if there's high latency that's going on, you might get that error message back. If there's deadlocks going on. So we're going to actually look at some of the DMVs that show you that. Query timeouts, we talked about this in my last session, so if you want to learn, just go view that, because we talked about a lot of the DMVs that show you, hey, if there's deadlocks and timeouts, what's going on? Your query could be in cache, it could time out because it couldn't get a plan, so it may get filtered from cache, things like that, right? This is what I wanted to get to, right? From a DBA perspective, these queries are your best friend, right? These are the ones going to tell you what's going on in your system and how can you fix them, right? So system DM exec requests, this is a DMV to tell you you're currently running queries, right? The DM exec query stats, this is aggregate query performance. This tells you all the queries that are currently in cache aggregated over the amount of time that they have been executed in cache. So you can look at this and say, hey, what queries are in cache? Now, cache is volatile, so what it's going to do is it's going to say, hey, I may run a query, and again, it's aggregated, so I know I've run this query 1,000 times, and it's only showing a couple hundred. Well, that's because we've aggregated that. So there's, but in that same DMV, you can look and see what's, you know, max I/O time and things like that. We'll try to pull that up, right? Exec query plan, you can actually look at the execution plan that query generated. The DM wait stats, this is database level wait stats. This is the query you want to look at if you're going, hey, what happened to my query and why am I getting deadlocks and what's going on? And how do I fix it? Right? This, that query, the DM wait stats is an important one. Right? Missing indexes, possible indexes for performance. This is, there are some DMOs that allow for, to look at, you know, what indexes. The problem or the downside really is that, we're familiar with SQL Server Management Studio where we get that missing indexes little link there and we're like, I'm going to apply that, and I'm going to tell you right now that please don't apply that all the time because it may not be correct, okay? But you get this DMVs that say, you know, pull that up. So it doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't show that in any of the SQL Server Management Portal, SQL Database Management Portal. You don't get that surface there, but there's a DMV that does surface those. So you can look at those, okay? All right. Again, those are important. So there you go. Now, you may say in wait types, again, this is as a DBA perspective, we're not going, hey, this is a whole new system, so we're not asking you to learn a whole new set of wait types or a whole new set of technologies. If you're familiar with this on-prem, you're going to be familiar with this in Windows Azure SQL Database, okay? Because it is SQL Server. However, there are some additional wait types that you may see as a result in your DMVs, right? Let's see if they're in here. I don't see. Yep, REPL commit acknowledgement, the second one, right? There's a REPL commit and a REPL commit acknowledgement. What would those be used for? What types would those come from? Yeah, you were in my previous session, yeah. Right, so yes, and that's correct. Yeah, thank you. So remember, when you create a SQL database, you get three, right? One primary, two replica, and those are always in sync. These wait types tell you that, yes, there was some replication, synchronization going on between your primary and secondary. Right? So if they show up, don't be surprised. Right? But this also tells you that if you do see these, that, okay, there's something's going on. Right? There's some, we're having some performance. It's waiting to do the replication. So, hey, we might have to look at other things like because it's getting held up. Make sense? Right? So... hopefully you won't see these, but if you do, then you got to look at, all right, then you go into the DM exec, you know, query exec and go, okay, what's going on, right? What's holding everything up? All right, let's look at a couple of returnals. I ran these, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to fire up. I'm not going to do that. So just really quick, I'm going to fire up SQL Server Management Studio, and I'm going to connect to my databases here. And you guys saw this. I'm just in my earlier session. You guys saw this, but I'm going to cover this. Just we got 3 minutes left. So things like, oh, it's already open. Woo-hoo. All right. So there's wait stats, right? And I'm going to connect to actually the database that I'm going to run this against. All right. So there's DM execs. What's running right now? And there probably isn't anything here because I haven't been running stuff. So that's that one. What is recently run in cache, right? That's a big one, right? I turned this off. So here you can look at, hey, you know, what's running in cache, what's been cycled out of cache, what are my big performing queries, you know, how many times do these queries run? And you can look at a lot of information here as far as the create time, you know, worker time, you know, total worker time, last worker time, max worker time, things like that. Total IO reads, writes, things like that. So this is a query that you want to know. Okay, if you want to know, just really quick, if you want to know, hey, let's put these together and let's look at the actual SQL that was executed, you can run something like this. Right? So, okay, there's the query, and there's how many times they're executed, and why were they executed that many times, and hey, what's going on, right? Again, in my previous session, you guys can have this if you want it, right, have these queries. I'll give you the SQL. And lastly... the weights, right? I probably don't have any weights here, but let me show you the weights. Did I already show you the weights? Where's my weights? Oh, yeah, weight stats. I think I already showed you that. Yep, there's my weights. All right, and I do have, Nothing out of the ordinary there. There's the I/O latch, the async network I/O. So I know that there's some latency going on, things like that. Okay, I got 2 minutes left, so let me wrap this up. Okay, yeah, 2 best practice slides, and then we'll open it up for questions. Oh, hold on a minute. Yeah, extra click. Okay, copies for DR, right? So right now you do get those additional copies. Right now they're all in the same data center. Pretty soon you'll be able to do, at some point, fairly soon, you'll be able to say, take one of my replicas, put that in another data center for a higher SLA. Clustered indexes are required, right, for all tables. So you've seen some databases where tables don't have clustered indexes. We use those for the synchronization of the primary and the replica, right? So those are required. Rebuild index online. This is when you're rebuilding indexes, please do that online. I think it's rebuild online equals on. Please do that. The reason for that is you still have access to TempDB, but you don't have access to all of TempDB, again, because it's shared. So if you overuse TempDB, you may get throttled for the overuse of TempDB, right? So do it online equals on, which will limit the throttle. You probably won't get throttled, but it depends on the size of the table and amount of data and things like that, right? If you do, again, DMVs are DB scoped, date times are UTC in Windows SQL database. You can't change that. If you create a table and you can say local, it is UTC really quick. Okay, troubleshooting checklist. I think this is the last slide. Check the Windows Azure. There's 2 portals. There's the Windows Azure Management portal that we looked at, right? That is if you want to say from a connections and going to your database. But there is also a global, it's called the Windows Azure portal, right? There's a global portal, and if you want, I'll give you the URL. There's a global portal that you can look, it's basically a dashboard to say that has all the Azure data centers in there. You can look at any time to say, what's the status of this data center? What's the status of SQL database in this data center? Right? So you can say, if you're having issues, look there. Hey, is this data center having problems? Okay. It does have a dashboard for posting outages or if there's issues, things like that. Check the SQL Server, the SQL Management portal. We checked that out for connections and things like that. Use the DMVs. There's from a general connectivity and connectivity issues. Start, you know, if you can't connect, firewall rule, login password. At that point, you're starting to look at, okay, is the internet provider, you're starting to look external. Is my internet provider down? Can I connect? Things like that, right? So the firewall rule is always firewall rule is number one. Start there if you cannot connect. Okay, final thoughts. Again, hopefully through this, you realize that as a DBA, you're still very, very needed, right? So monitoring applications, monitoring queries, what's going on from my connection standpoint, where are errors, how do I troubleshoot those errors, migration, backups, restores, there's still a lot we didn't cover. But you know, when you're designing, you want to migrate, and you want to think of the cloud in mind, right? Just as a DBA, because things are going there, but you know, that's really not that different to troubleshoot. It's just, you know, different tools and additional tools and how you use that. All right, so my time's up. Any questions? Was it really that good or that boring? Right, yeah, one back in the back. I don't want to paint that picture. So it's not like the query will stop. I mean, because you can still do that, right? This is just a matter of, you know, test on-prem, migrate to the cloud type of thing. What we didn't mention here and I did say that there are, right now it's shared resources, but not just a month or two ago they announced, so if you guys are familiar with Windows Azure, like you can do a website and pick your t-shirt size. Right, so for reserved resources, you guys familiar with that? You can do that in a Windows Azure VM as well, right? They announced the preview for doing that in Windows Azure SQL Database. So when you create a database, you'll say, I want this to run with these dedicated resources, this much memory, this much CPU. It's in preview right now, okay? So you can say, yep, I want these dedicated, right? I didn't mention it only because it's still in preview, but if you look at the portal, you know, or look at what's, you know, the announcements, they did announce that in preview. Right, so what I don't want you to leave here going, hey, if I run a big query, I'm going to get throttled. No, not really. Right, it's just you need to monitor. It's just you look what's going on and look at the query and use these DMVs to figure out, hey, what's, you know, am I taking too many resources or am I doing, you know, am I getting locking or is there blocking going on, things like that. Right. So, you know, don't leave here thinking that you are going to get there. You more than likely, you're probably not, but just be smart about, you know, how you're running your queries. Right? Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? Was this helpful? Okay. Good. So don't forget to fill out the eval. There's some references as far as retry logic. Again, this will all be downloaded from the website. I think I put my... did I not put... Oh, yeah. So if you want my contact information, I can put that back up. If you want to email me, if you want more information, I'm happy to do that. But anyway, if there's no more questions, thank you very much. Appreciate it.